Welcome to the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast, powered by Jetro. Each week, we bring extremely valuable accounting and tax tips specific to small business owners. You will be on your way to growing your business and putting more money in your pockets. Here's your host.
Hello and welcome back to another episode. Today's topic is, does no 1099 mean no deduction? Now, before we get into that, this episode is brought to you by Jetro, a digital accounting firm servicing small business owners across the country, helping them relieve stress around financials and save thousands in taxes. I am your host and founder of Jetro, Mike Jezoshek. Now, here in January, it's 1099 season. So 1099s are due at the end of the month, January 31st. These are 1099s that have to be sent out for contractors and services that you paid throughout the year in 2019, over $600 too. So 1099s are due at the end of the month on January 31st. Now, with being in 1099 season, a lot of people struggling or rushing to get information, I got asked a question, and someone said, I did not send a 1099, or I won't be able to send a 1099. Does that mean that I do not get a deduction for that? And so my answer to that is, not necessarily. Now, as a business owner, payments that you make for services are deductible business expenses, assuming that they're ordinary, necessary, and the amount is reasonable. And there's nothing in the tax law that denies you a deduction simply because you did not file the required 1099s. Now, with that being said, not filing the required 1099 form can cast a lot of doubt on the legitimacy of the deduction. So, as with any kind of expense, when you're filing a tax return, you have to keep sufficient records to help back up that deduction, to help back up the expense that you're taking as a business. And so if you would have filed a 1099, this would be really solid documentation to prove that it was an actual expense in the event of an audit. Because that 1099 is telling the IRS that, yes, I paid person X. Person X gets a copy of that 1099, and then they include that in their income. So that's pretty good proof to the IRS that person X got a 1099, they accepted it, and they're going to file a tax return saying, yes, I made this income. So that's good proof. So, you know, as I mentioned, not filing the required 1099 form just can cast doubt on the legitimacy of that deduction. So if you do not have a 1099, you're going to want to make sure you have solid documentation to help back that up, to prove to the IRS, yes, this is a valid deduction, even if I did not send a 1099. So things that you can kind of collect to help provide that good, substantial proof are bank statement transactions, canceled checks, invoices from the contractor. So if you got an invoice, that's really good proof. A signed agreement, if you have an agreement where you pay them $1,000 a week for 6 weeks or whatever it is, that signed agreement can help back it up. And even, if you are not going to send a 1099, getting a signed statement from the contractor verifying the amount that you paid them is really good proof too. So you pay a contractor, say $10,000, they sign a statement that says, yes, I did receive $10,000. That helps substantiate it. So basically, since you do not have a 1099, you would have to prove in the event of an audit that you did in fact make those payments and they were legitimate business expenses. So if there is vendors where you're not able to send a 1099 to, or you don't plan to send a 1099 to, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lose that deduction. It just means that in the event of an audit, you have to provide much more proof to help back that deduction up. Now, with that being said, if you do not send a 1099 when you were supposed to, the IRS can still hit you with a financial penalty. And in 2019, that's $270 per 1099. Or if the IRS determines that it was intentionally disregarded, so you intentionally did not send a 1099, that penalty goes up to $550 per 1099. So it's important to note, and this was discussed in prior episodes, that if you pay anyone over $600, a 1099 is required, assuming that they are not a corporation, you didn't pay it via a credit card or PayPal. Now, if you paid someone under $600, 1099 is not required, and that's $600 in total. So if you make three payments of $300, that's $900, 1099 required. But if you paid them under $600 in total for the year, no 1099 is required. If you made the payments to a corporation, no 1099 is required. If you made the payments to an LLC taxed as a corporation, no 1099 is required. If you made those payments via credit card or a third-party service provider like PayPal, no 1099 is required. So again, you want to keep an eye on this. So if a 1099 is required, always recommend sending a 1099. But in the rare instance or fact where you are unable to send a 1099, it doesn't mean the deduction isn't allowed. Just make sure you have enough backup and proof to substantiate that deduction. So make sure you get 1099 sent out. We have some time left before January's over. Get those 1099 sent out. This can reduce stress and future penalties. It also makes life easier in the event of an audit to help prove yourself. And again, no one wants to get with a bunch of 1099 penalties in the event that you were supposed to send one and you didn't send one. However, again, in the event a 1099 is not sent, it doesn't mean you're disallowed. Just make sure you do the legwork now to provide substantiation and proof of that expense. Put it on file so that in the event of an audit, you have that to back it up and to be able to prove that and be able to still get that deduction. So again, in conclusion, file 1099s, get them done. Just make sure that they're filed before the end of the month. But if you can't, just provide some documentation ahead of that to help prove that. So I hope this was helpful. We're getting to the end of 1099 season. Get those 1099s sent out. Then we really get into the heart of tax season. And we're just going to continue this discussion on questions that we have from listeners. So send your questions to us. Let us know these things that are bothering you. Let us know so that we can create an episode on it. We can talk through it and help provide substantiation and help you guide you along this journey of being a business owner. So again, hope this was helpful. It was great to have you on another episode, and I will see you next week. Now, one last thing before I go. Don't forget to check out our podcast website at www.taxsavingspodcast.com. That's taxsavingspodcast.com. This is a great resource to go and check out our most recent episodes, as well as find extra items if you want to take what we discuss here and dive deeper. Again, also join our Facebook group where we share tons of value and you have the opportunity to bring situations you are faced with to the table, and we'll help you out in that Facebook group, and other business owners will support you as well. You can join by simply searching in Facebook for the Small Business Tax Secrets group. Again, it's a Facebook group called Small Business Tax Secrets, and there should be a group that pops up that you can join.
This has been another episode of the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast from the team at Jetro. If you enjoy our weekly episodes, please leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on and share with other business owners. If you have any questions or future topics you want to hear, email them to tax@jetrotax.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.